T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. A reminder, Jeremy Lin on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Rare Steakhouse with Bill Michaels and Steve Novak. Freems, we've been so busy with the Milwaukee Bucks, and for good reason, that we maybe did not give enough due to the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Braves. Nice late-inning performance from Ben Gamel gets them the win on Sunday. The deep home run to center field. Otherwise, the Brewers lost 2 of 3 to the Braves, and they're back at it for a two-gamer with the Reds tonight and then tomorrow afternoon. But the Brewers still on top of mind here. I know the Bucks are taking over the town, but we cannot forget, we will not forget about our beloved crew.
Yep, and they're a game out because they closed within a game after the Cubs got beat at Wrigley by the Phillies last night. Cubs had a little effort to rally, but then Philly ended up breaking the 4-4 tie and winning 5-4. And so within now a game of the first-place Cubs. And, yeah, they took the final game in Atlanta. At least they didn't get swept. That was a heartbreaker Saturday night, though. We never touched about that either because it was Monday we didn't talk because of the Bucks. But I thought Saturday night's game, God, that was disappointing to lose that game. And Josh Hader giving up another home run. And I think we'd be talking about the concern about Hader and his home run balls if it wasn't for the Bucks these days.
That's certainly something we can bring up with Adam McKelvey. He will join us today at 8 o'clock, as he did not yesterday. Typically Mondays at 8, we check in with our Milwaukee baseball insider from Brewers.com. We'll do that today at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to Adam McKelvey. Yeah, the weekend, you saw the Braves get out to a huge lead on Friday. They ended up winning 12-8. Hernan Perez was pitching in that game, almost got credit for a win if the Brewers would have had the comeback there, but they lose Friday. Saturday, it goes to extra innings for, I think, the third Saturday in a row. Mm-hmm. You had the 18-inning affair, you had a 15-inning affair, and then the 10-inning affair on Saturday night, which, again, as you mentioned, Josh Hader allowing the home run ball there, and then the Brewers doing well to earn the victory on Sunday. So this was a good note that Adam McKelvey did put out on his Twitter. The Brewers have cleared now this early season gauntlet, this part of the schedule where they face the Dodgers a bunch of times, they face the Cardinals a bunch of times, they face solid teams like the Braves and the Angels, and they face the Cubs a handful of times. They've cleared the stretch where they had 23 games in 24 days. They cleared the stretch with the only 10-game road trip that they had on their entire schedule. After all of that, and I know there's been some concern about the Brewers throughout the season with the different areas that they've been struggling, and there still is some now, but after all of that, they finish that stretch at 28-21, and they're just a game out from the Cubs in the NL Central. So despite all the rockiness, and it seemed like at times maybe this team doesn't have the mojo they had last year, or there's going to be more obstacles for them this year than there was a year ago, they're right where you would want them to be on May 21st.
Yeah, they're in good shape. They're in good shape. Basically, since the first week and a half of the season, they've been playing about 500 baseball because they got off that 8-2 start. So, what, they're a game under since then? Or, no, a game over since then. So, right around 500. Hopefully they'll take off here. But as bad as things have gone, talking about the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday, but as bad as things have gone sometimes, you know, some of those guys aren't having real good seasons, and even in the starting rotation, some of those guys in the rotation haven't been as good as we thought, and some have overperformed, like Zach Davies. you know, they're still only a game behind the Cubs. And, you know, they got Cincinnati, you know, two games with them, and the Reds are, you know, always difficult against the Brewers. And this weekend, the Brewers are in town with the Phillies, the one and only appearance by Harper in Milwaukee.
You know, the Brewers, we talk about the pitching and the rotation and the problems there. For the most part, that seems to have stabilized. You still have Corbin Burnes now in the bullpen, who he had a rough night the other night. Freddie Peralta, they're still kind of trying to figure out what to do with him. But Woodruff has really come on. He went eight innings the other day. Always great when one of these guys can go six innings, much less seven, much less eight. So that was good for him on Sunday. Hader did complete that game, get the win there after struggling the night before. Keston Hira made his road debut last week. He'll make his home debut tonight, but he had a home run on Sunday. Christian Yelich with a few home runs over the weekend. So he now is homering on the road, which was a concern for some for a while. So a lot of the problems that the Brewers have had are seeming to, you know, even themselves out. Still, you know, issues to be concerned about. The Travis Shaw thing when he comes back, what's going to happen there? The Hader thing with the home runs, Corbin Burnes. Some of these guys do still need to perform. First base maybe still isn't as good as they would like. But 28-21 this point of the season, I think that is something to be happy about, especially because they are sort of in line with where they were a year ago. I know at times it seemed heightened already because it is going to be a tough division race between these three teams, the Cubs leading the Central right now, then the Brewers a game back. Pirates 2.5 back of the Cubs. Cardinals have been struggling. They're 4 back of the Cubs right now, but it's we expect it to be St. Louis, Milwaukee, and the Cubs towards the end of this thing, which each of those teams have had their ups, they've all had their downs, and they've all kind of floated in the middle, and that's where the standings look as they do. But the Brewers, just a game back with another one tonight against the Reds.
Even Jeremy Jeffress, that fastball continues to climb. That's going to give me some more hope for that bullpen that, you know, Jeffress continues with that fastball moving in the upper 90s at times. In 97, he touched on the radar. You know, that leads us to believe that he's going to be, once again, a valuable piece of the bullpen. He's turned it around. Remember, he had that one of his final appearances down at San Antonio, AAA. He got shelled, and it was like, God, is this guy even ready to come back? Well, they've done a nice job slowly bringing him back, getting his velocity back, Bart, and now he's ready to be a integral part of that bullpen once again.
The other news I thought was interesting over the weekend was a former Brewer got designated for assignment, and that's that the Mets have given up already on Keon Broxton. Keon Broxton designated for assignment. Keon, the outfielder for the Brewers last year that was traded for two prospects, and then Bobby Wall, the reliever who ended up getting hurt, and we may see him in September. They're still optimistic about that, but, you know, we'll find out. But Keon Broxton DFA'd. So, you know, offensively, he struggled. Defensively, he's as good at home run saving catches as our guy Lorenzo Cain. But it was surprising to see that the Mets, after giving up three guys to get him, have quit on Keon Broxton already.
I guess he's had some defensive problems, too, with the Mets. And that's his forte. Remember, he misjudged a fly ball when the Mets were here. I think it was a Sunday afternoon game that I was at. It might have been the Saturday 18 inning game against the Mets. He misjudged a fly ball to right field, and that allowed the Brewers to take an early lead in that game before the Mets ended up tying it up. But yeah, he was playing right, and he should have caught it, and it went over his head, just moved in when he should have moved back. But somebody will pick Keon up. But you know, Keon, I think at this point he's far enough in his major league career where, you know, he's going to be a good defensive replacement in the outfield. He's going to give you some A-plus outfield, even though he has struggled a little bit with the Mets. He's going to run the bases well. We've seen him pinch run, but he just is not going to hit. And when he was here, he'd go in streaks where he could hit, but he just wasn't doing that at all with the New York Mets.
Do you...
I knew you were going to say it.
Do you want to do it?
Do I want him?
Do you want to do the topic?
Do I want Keon on this team?
414.
No.
799.
No.
1250.
I bet you.
Should the Brewers get Keon Broxton back? 799, 1250.
Bart, doing your best impersonation of somebody else who was on the show.
No, just doing a standard DJ impression.
The when he came to bat in that Mets series, you wouldn't even know he was a former Brewer. You wouldn't even know that he caught the final out in game 163 versus Milwaukee. He came to the plate, and there was just nothing. You know, it was just like Keon was just any other Met coming to the plate. There was nothing. There was no reaction. And, no, I mean, I guess right now we're happy with Gamble. We are. Gamble. And, you know, people got on me when I said the Brewers have to do better than Gamble as their fourth outfielder. Gamble, and if you hear Bill Schroeder on the broadcast, he will say, too, Gamble has been a nice surprise. He has surprised us all. I don't care what anybody says. Gamble has been better than we all thought he was going to be. He has been getting hit the home run Sunday. He has been better than we thought. Nobody saw Gamble being this good. Now, long season yet. Let's see how he's going to, you know, the season, everything always washes out the entire season. But so far, it's been so good. He has been better than we all thought he was going to be.
When you say nobody, do you think David Stearns is in that mix? Or do you think David Stearns expected a 283, 364, 396 slash from Gamble?
I don't think he thought that. He never did that with Seattle. I don't think he expected him to be this good. And like I said, when you even hear Bill Schroeder on the broadcast saying he's been a nice surprise, and he's done that a number of times, that tells me even, you know, and Schroeder knows the front office there that he, you know, obviously they think too he has outperformed what his expectations were going to be.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll talk all of this and more with Adam McKelvey. Also need to bring up Jimmy Nelson because he, for somebody, I always say Jimmy Nelson is the Brewer that cried wolf, that he's going to come back and then he doesn't. If he does not come back now, then he never is going to. His last outing was good. He 5 2/3, 3 hits, no earned, 8 strikeouts, 86 pitches. He got a hit. So
what does he got to do?
Jimmy Nelson is still continuing to finish out this rehab assignment, and then the rehab assignment will be over, and then council says the Brewers have to make a decision on that. So that could either be keeping him in the minors for a while or bringing him up to the major leagues. So
wouldn't that be weird if somehow, I'm just saying somehow, they go through all this for the last 2 years. They go through spring training. They put all this work into him. He's finally ready to go, and they DFA him.
Well, that would be weird. That would be weird. Yeah, that would be weird. I just, for the longest time, this has been how it's gone. It's been, well, Jimmy's close. He's ready. He's pitching well, and then he doesn't return. And if it doesn't happen now, there's just absolutely no way that it's going to happen because he is posting good numbers down in AAA. I've seen some of the video. His off-speed stuff looks really good. I'm almost surprised that it's coming out of Jimmy Nelson. I mean, if he can translate that to the majors, he will definitely be an asset for this team. I just, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 13 times, it seems like. You know, so I don't want to get duped into believing Jimmy Nelson's going to come back and then have the rug pulled out from under us. So we'll get the latest from Adam McKelvey again. We'll do that at 8 o'clock. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. Ryan Horvath. We've got you covered. It's game 4 between the Bucks and the Raptors. We'll hear from Coach Bud next on The Fan.
They're putting a lot of attention on him. I think he's making a lot of good decisions, a lot of good reads. We probably got to play a little better around him to make it harder for him to do that. And, you know, when everybody's playing well, then Giannis plays well. And, you know, I think, again, he's passing well, he's making good reads, and I think he'll continue to do that, and if it's 12 points or 40 points, and he just wants to win.
That's Coach Bud talking about Giannis. Read a lot of good stuff over the last couple of days here, at least after that loss, about, Chuck, how the Raptors switched it up a little bit on Giannis, at least defensively. So in the Boston series where there was, you know, the wall, and then Giannis was able to figure out he could beat Al Horford, and the series was over. The Raptors gave the Bucks one look in games 1 and 2 and then gave Giannis and the Bucks a different look in game 3. And now we'll see tonight if they give him that same look or if they readjust a little bit because you know the Bucks are going to try to adjust from that. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, who is in Canada for the Raptors home games in this series. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. So hopefully they can come out tonight, the Bucks can, and stifle whatever the Raptors threw at them and get Giannis back on track. Get any one of those big three, Middleton and Bledsoe included, back on track so the Bucks can get the victory here tonight.
Teams are reluctant to put their best player, especially one of the guys who's one of the best players in the NBA, on another team's star because, you know, Kawhi, if he's on Giannis again tonight and, you know, Giannis gets the train going, he's, you know, he's got, he has it going on, penetrating toward the hoop, Kawhi could get in some deep foul trouble. That never happened on Sunday night, but that's the one danger of putting your superstar on another superstar is, can he get in foul trouble? Well, is he gonna rack up some needless fouls? And then he's not doing any good on the offensive end, where you need him most because he's got a nice little seat on the end of the bench.
Yeah, and if Kawhi's gonna be on Giannis, then Giannis needs to go hard at him and get the refs to make some decisions there. And even though it's, you know, in Toronto and typically the refs favor the home team, if there's a little contact and the refs are forced to go block charge, maybe a steal foul on Kawhi if you're going to play him that way. So you got to, especially when they're in foul trouble, I don't think the Bucks did a good enough job of that on Sunday night. When they had guys that were in foul trouble, you got to penetrate more. You can't just take, you know, three after three after three. Bledsoe should have been driving more instead of taking threes. You had Marc Gasol with five. You had Norm Powell with five for a long time. Get those guys out and get them out sooner so that, you know, you're playing against the Jeremy Lins of the world instead. Jeremy Lin, by the way, if you did not hear, he will be Bill's guest on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour tomorrow night at Rare Steakhouse. Yes, Jeremy Lin of the Raptors will be Bill's in-person guest tomorrow night at Rare Steakhouse.
But I think the Bucks, in a case like that, they're still going to do what they think offensively is their best way to score points, and that is Giannis scoring and three-pointers. Giannis penetrating to the hole. There was nothing really there for Bledsoe or anybody else to penetrate. Their interior defense was pretty solid. There was nothing to be had. The only way you can penetrate them and get to the rack, it seems here in the postseason, Boston or Toronto, and you know mostly in the NBA, is when after a missed shot, you're heading down court and there's helter skelter because your opponent can't set the defense. But in half court, it's tough to penetrate. In the NBA, or maybe any level, but I mean, especially in the NBA, it is tough to penetrate. It is tough to penetrate, getting to the hole against a defense in a set half court set.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. KJ is in West Dallas. KJ, aloha to you.
Hello.
Check out.
Freems and Leds. Good morning to you.
What's up?
KJ.
Hey, Freems, how's everything in Toronto, man?
Just like it was 2 days ago, Milwaukee. Cold and windy. And the sun, you know, you heard the song, "It Never Rains in California." The sun never shines in Toronto.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right, though. I'm here. I'm not here to lay in the sun. I'm here to watch the Bucks go up 3-1 tonight.
There you go. Yeah, and I'm right there with you, and I think that's going to happen, Chuck. I think they're going to play much better tonight. I anticipate a beatdown, actually, tonight. And they're going to reestablish themselves in this series as being the dominant team and go on and take it out in five here in Milwaukee. I think they're going to probably make, hopefully, a couple of subtle adjustments. They were getting trapped, and that defense was collapsing on Giannis in the paint. And I think they're going to make an adjustment like they did in the first game in Boston, where if he's bringing the ball down, he's going to get rid of the ball much quicker than he did in the last game, either to the wing guys or, you know, if he sees an opening, then he's going to probably try and take it in and penetrate to the basket. So I look for him to have a 20-plus point game. There's no way. I mean, I would be completely shocked if he didn't get at least 20 to 25 points tonight. And he's going to try and distribute the ball like he always does, to the other guys. It's just a matter of those guys hitting those shots. Middleton, Bledsoe. Bledsoe's got to be better, man. I mean, You know, it seems like the trend right now, guys, for the last couple of years is Bledsoe's not a big game playoff performer, man. I mean, he was good, you know, in the regular season in a lot of games, and then he disappears, and then he gets in the playoffs, so he'll have a couple of spurts, and then he disappears again. So, I mean, he's got to put sustain a, you know, something with, you know, some meaning for the Bucks to be successful, you know, in terms of him not turning the ball over and hitting some doggone shots.
Too inconsistent. And we may just have to live with that with Bledsoe, guys, because, you know, there's sometimes he's Bledsoe, other times he's ordinary. The other night he was less than ordinary and just terrible. Can't have that. No, I mean, and as far as tonight with Giannis, I think Giannis is going to have a big game. You know, it's imperative when you get into a series and it's 2-1, it's a pivotal game tonight. There's no doubt, a pivotal game, because, Bart, I think the Raptors are either in this one tonight, they're back in the series if they win. If they lose, the Bucks up 3-1, and I put this out on Twitter, only three teams in NBA history have ever blown a 3-1 lead in the conference finals. So you're in pretty good shape out of like 40, 41 different scenarios that where it's happened where a team has gone up 3-1. Only three teams have blown it. So I like their chances. History is on their side if they go up 3-1. But in a game like this, Giannis has got to be the man. This is on Giannis. This is how he's going. This is why he's the MVP. This is where the great ones step up and lead their team on the road in a tough environment to a game for victory. Giannis has got to have the game tonight. It is imperative. There's other guys who got to play well too, Bart, but it's number one. Giannis cannot be disappointing like he was Sunday night.
You know, Giannis after the game would make a point of, hey, after these games, you know how we respond. You've seen how we responded. He said something similar to that. Mm-hmm. You can look at how when the Bucks do lose this season, they come out and respond. And I do worry that we are taking that for granted. Like when Giannis is shown on the bench after he fouls out and he's, you know, mad. And then you talk about the 1,000-yard stares that you saw of him in the locker room. I think everybody, you know, as they talk around town today, they'll say, hey, the Bucks tonight, how do you think they'll do? Well, I just think that Giannis is going to have a huge game tonight. He's motivated. He's ready. And I don't want to take that part for granted. The Bucks still need to go out there and do it. They still need to go out there and get it done. And you can't imagine having as bad of a night from all three of those guys, Bledsoe, Middleton, and Giannis. It's almost unfathomable that could happen again. Not even two or three times, but even one more time. It's unfathomable that could happen one more time. But Toronto, you got to give them credit. They shut those guys down as much as those guys maybe struggled shooting. I mean, Giannis had a tough game because Toronto's defense, and same with Middleton and same with Bledsoe. So, you know, if I'm a Toronto fan, I try to find some optimism that we can do that again, tie this series, go back to Milwaukee, maybe steal one, and then win it out on our home court. I think the Bucks. I know the Bucks. The Bucks are a better team. And the Bucks should go to the finals, but nothing is guaranteed and nothing is set in stone. I still expect the Bucks to win this in five. Mm-hmm. I still expect them to win tonight. I expect Giannis to have a big game. I think Middleton and Bledsoe will have even big games. But I don't want to, I just hesitate to take that part for granted because these are the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm a little more tensed up as a fan than, you know, the normal Bart, oh, we're going to win every game by 300. You know, I'm ready to jump right in. I'm just a little nervous as I was after game one against the Celtics because, you know, these series are back and forth, up and down, and I really, 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 really would be disappointed and heartbroken and crushed if the Bucks did not deliver me a trip and us a trip to the NBA Finals. So just don't, I would just say don't take it for granted.
Oh, no, that's when you asked me this question, and I said, you know, you said, can the Bucks win an NBA championship? And I think you predicted them the way, and you got at me for not wanting to go there. And it's like, why? Because it's so difficult to, you know, the Bucks made it easy on themselves. They made it easy because they played so well in that Boston series, the final four games. You know, they were the superior team, but the Bucks also did superior things to show why they are one of the best teams in the NBA. This was not going to be easy. It never is. I mean, look at Portland. They gave the Warriors three good shots in that series, the final three. Sure, the Warriors won handily in game one, but Portland gave it a good shot. Golden State had to work for that sweep. Golden State had to work its ass off for that sweep. You know, I watched the game again last night. They did. It's not going to be easy. It's just, Toronto could come back and win tonight. Now the Bucks, we think, are the better team, and the Raptors are a little banged up. The Raptors are a little banged up from all accounts. You know, Leonard playing the 52 minutes has got a little bit of a leg injury. Wasn't around for media availability yesterday. You know, you could read something into that if you want it. Kyle Lowry, Bart, had an oven mitt on his hand. His thumb is killing him. He is wearing his arm was all bandaged up yesterday. So he's got that going for him. Siakam, at his media availability yesterday, he was clearly gingerly walking around. He was still sore from an injury and from just all the minutes that he's put in the series. So I feel like Toronto's a little bit more worn out in this series through three games and injured than the Milwaukee Bucks are.
Well, they've also still played about 200 more minutes when you look at the stars on each team, because Toronto's had longer series and they've had some more overtimes. They've played longer. They've played more. There's more wear and tear on the Raptors than there is the Milwaukee Bucks. Coach Bud, talking yesterday, says that they can be better, but let's make sure we give proper praise to Toronto for what they did.
I don't know. They were good last night. I think, you know, give Toronto a lot of credit. Their activity, obviously a couple individual guys stood out, played but well. And I do think we can play better, individually, collectively, we can be better.
Ultimately, when we were mapping out this series, what we were looking at was, well, we think the Bucks can get one and then two. And then, you know, that home team, as you mentioned, game three, you're at home, crowds into it. Usually the role players shine, you start out hot. And if the road team can come back and maybe steal that one, that's what the Bucks almost did the other night. But where I look at that, where I looked at the prediction for this series and why I took Bucks in five was because of tonight's game. Because I figure if you lose game three, you should win game four. The Bucks have lost back-to-back games just once the entire season. And when they've lost games, whether it was to Boston in November and then they come out the very next game and beat the Kings by 35, or if they lose to a team like Phoenix and then go to back home and stomp on Indiana, or they lose to Cleveland and then tear Miami apart. I mean, when they would lose, they would come back and rebound with a win, and usually a pretty convincing win. So also when they lose to teams, the next time they play that team, they go out and beat them. So if they just do what they've been doing, because they, as you saw in that locker room, they take losses very personal. And if they just continue to do what they've been doing throughout the season, this should be a series that is over by Thursday night.
I think this is one of the biggest nights in Bucks history tonight. And, you know, the championship's not on the line, but getting to the championship certainly is. They win tonight. They're up 3-1, and it is looking good. It is looking good. Not that we should take winning the series for granted, but they're going to take a large step. You know, as I just talked about a little while ago, and then, you know, Toronto wins, they're back in it. So I think, Bart, this is one of the biggest nights in Bucks history. A pivotal game four. We'll find out where the series swings tonight. That's why I feel it's such an important night. I mean, going to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1974, they take a huge step with winning this game tonight. That's why I think it's the biggest night, one of the biggest nights in Bucks history.
Got a tweet here from Jeff along those same lines at 105.7 FM. The Fan at Chuck Freeman at Winks thinks, series-defining game, season-defining game, franchise-defining game.
It is.
Let's not undersell this. Tonight is a must-win.
It is. It is. Again, tonight's game goes a long way for a number of different reasons. Now, if they lose, not that the series isn't over. Maybe a little momentum has swung. But if the Bucks lose tonight, Then he started feeling a little bit nervous going into Thursday night's game. And you have to come back here for another one. And then potentially a game seven on Memorial Day night, which you don't want to go to game seven, even though it's at home. Man, game seven of the conference finals. I think everything's out the window in that type of game.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. More on the Bucks Raptors game four. We'll preview it with you guys at 105.7 FM. The Fan, 799-1250. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 1250 on the AM, 105.7 FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.